if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com, and today we will do the March 2024 review. Before to start, so here is our sponsor, MedBoard.
MedBoard, the regulatory research and intelligence platform, is focused on solving the problem with increasing news and data and new requirements as regulatory intelligence, post-market surveillance, clinical literature review, and many more. We are making trusted medtech information and data more accessible, creating the largest information portal search and the best tools for review, intelligence, and portfolio management. We are already changing people's lives like you by reducing tedious manual and repetitive work or saving much time. Contact us at medboard.com to learn more about us and do a free trial.
Okay, we'll start with the first news about the EU proposal that was made in January 2024 about the shortage, the IVDR extension, and also the EUDAMED waves that they want to create there. So this proposal will be going now for a vote. And after that, if it's in place, then we'll have also some changes for and MDR and IVDR. So remember, for the shortage, mainly what is mentioned in the proposal is to have informations from manufacturers when there is a shortage to alert the authorities when there is a shortage. It is something that is good because then we know exactly where we'll have some issues on the market. But the difficulty will be now to define what is the product, what are the products that will be on scope of this. Then the second is the IVDR transition. So we have a complete change now of the dates. The dates are now more aligned with the MDR. They are mainly trying to move everything to 2028, 2029, so that everybody is also aligned with this kind of thing. And for you, EUDAMED, the idea is mainly that, I mean, if you read the EU MDR, you saw that EUDAMED has to be in place. It will be mandatory as soon as all the modules are available. And this is not actually the case. Actually, we have the module for economic operators, devices, and the module for certificates for notified body that is in place. The only thing, the problem now is that we miss two modules for manufacturers, which are the clinical evaluation and vigilance reporting, and one module for the competent authorities for market surveillance. So now the idea of this proposal is to say, okay, when a module is available and ready and stable, no need to wait for all the modules to be there so that we can start to use it. So this is the proposal, and if it is voted, then maybe it means that some modules that are already available will be mandatory for you to be used. So be prepared for that, because as soon as it's announced, maybe there will be a timeline like 6 months, and everybody will then have to use that. But we'll talk again about that with a podcast that we have done with Eric Wolbrecht. Okay, second, the EU Commission has made a survey to notified bodies. I think it was end of 2023. And this survey is mainly talking about the situation for notified bodies, for manufacturers and everything. I just took few statistics, not everything. There are a lot of statistics there for MDR and IVDR. So the first statistic I took for MDR and IVDR is the reason for refusal. So here, when you see on graph, mainly there is the reason of refusal, which is first, first is more the below, outside the scope of notified body designation. So mainly they are coming to a notified body that is not on scope of their product. So please check before, you can check that with another database. You go and you put your MDR code, you put the annex that you want to check, and then you'll find exactly which notified bodies are aligned with your product. Second is application not complete. So many you send an application but not complete. Third, wrong qualification of a product product classification of product devices. Mainly you send a product, you say it's a class 2A and the notified body says no, it's a class 2B. Or you send a product and you say it's a medical device when no, it's not a medical device. And then others. Then also something that was surprising, it says insufficient notified body resources, which mainly is something that means that they don't have the right resource to help the manufacturer. I don't know if it means that they have applied, they were on waiting for the notified body to start the process, and maybe notified body didn't find at all the resource to help them. I think maybe it's this reason. And the last one, which is wrong conformity assessment procedure, so mainly you maybe choose Annex 11 or Annex 10 when you should have choose maybe Annex 9, etc. So this is mainly the thing. So the same, we have this for MDR. And for IVDR, there are less reasons. The main one is the others. I don't know what means others. The second one is application not complete. The third one is wrong qualification of product and product classification of device. And the fourth one is wrong conformity assessment procedure. So for the others, like insufficient notified body resources or outside the scope of notified body, zero for the moment. The second statistic is the time to reach a new certificate. As a consultant, we receive a lot of customers and they are always asking us, okay, how long will it take to get this certificate? So you see here on this graph, for MDR again and for IVDR, the average time is 13 to 18 months. There is a distinction here between just obtaining the QMS certification or the QMS plus the product certification. And you see that it's again between 13 and 18 months, the maximum, or 6 to 12 months, but it's really rare to arrive to 24 months. So it's like 10% to arrive to that. So, and it's also rare to be less than 6 months. So it's also something important to understand that you'll never nearly get a certificate that is less than 6 months. Because we have some customers that says, oh, can we get that by end of the year? I mean, we cannot say because we have to contact a notified body, we have to make an application, we have to do a lot of things before we get an answer that maybe yes, it's possible. So this is the difficulty that we have, is that everybody wants it now, but they don't anticipate, they are asking it now. So it's really something important to check. So the same for IVDR. So here in IVDR for QMS and products, again, the same 13 to 18 months. Then we have 19 to 24 months, so the second one, and then less than 6 months, a bit more than 6 months, sorry, if mainly we have, I think, all the information available there. So these information are really important because then you, as a manufacturer, you will understand what is the average time. So apparently the average time is between 1 year and 1 year and a half, or maximum 2 years, but really this is the average time that you have to consider for your dossier. So don't hesitate to look at this survey on the show notes again, because there are a lot of other statistics that maybe can help you. Spain, the AEMPS, so the Spanish authority, are issuing the consultation for qualification and classification of medical devices. Apparently, there are a lot of medical devices that are transitioning to MDR, and there are some difficulties to understand if this is again a medical device and what is the classification. So here the idea is mainly that you can go and contact the AEMPS and issue a consultation, ask them some questions about the qualification and classification of the devices. So you can check the text mainly that is published by the Spanish authority on the show notes again. Okay, now EURL, so European laboratories that are for IVDR. So we have here, last year, December 2023, we had a first announcement of 5 laboratories that are able to help for as EURL. Now there is a second call that is made for, again, other laboratories for other scope for in vitro diagnostic products. So the scope, first, the call is until April 30th for class D, again, devices. And the scope is arboviruses, hemorrhagic fever, and other biosafety level 4 viruses, parasites and blood grouping. So if you are a laboratory or if you know a laboratory that is on this scope, ask them maybe to then contact or apply for being an EURL, because then they will have a lot of demand from a lot of notified bodies and a lot of requests to make some analysis. So don't hesitate to go also on the show to check the text that was issued by the EU Commission for this call, this second call, and maybe there will be a third one, but second call for having more EURL laboratories. Okay, now we talk about Team Notified Body, Team NB. So they have issued a position paper, and it was really an interesting one. I have even made a comment on LinkedIn about that, small video about it. So mainly the idea here is the fact that coronavirus is now nearly over. So the idea is to say before it was really a dangerous virus and it was really creating this kind of situation in Europe. Now it's not dangerous anymore, or we have really lower risk now of having that kind of virus. So now maybe we should reduce the classification of in vitro diagnostic products that were class D before, and now they can be maybe be class B or class C due to the fact that the environmental situation has changed, which is great, but it's also a change that we never had before. Like a classification is a classification. So as soon as you are classified like that, so you should stay like that. Now we see that also because of the environmental changes, there can be some changes on the on those type of products. So if your device were class D, maybe with this position paper, you can argue that it's not class D anymore, and you can have some argumentation. What are the classes between B and C also that can be applicable? So this is important because it's Team NB, Team Notified Body. So if Team NB issued this position paper, I suppose notified bodies will be aligned with this argumentation also. So don't hesitate to read that and to qualify your products, maybe as class C or class B for the next round. Okay, now EMDN proposal. So every year, normally, there is a consultation about the EMDN codes. So EMDN, they are those codes that you have to qualify your products. It's a nomenclature. It's replacing the GMDN before, but before, GMDN, you have to pay for it, and EMDN, it's free of charge, and under the EUMDR, the condition for having a nomenclature was to have it free of charge. So it's why they moved to EMDN, which was CND before, the Italian nomenclature. So now the EMDN is a code that normally everybody knows about it, but they are consulting about the scope, about the elements that are inside. So you can go now to the EMDN page and you can register, login, and make proposals or updates of the EMDN codes. Mainly the idea is that if you think maybe there is some changes to do on some of those codes, or I suppose maybe adding new codes, then you can go to this consultation table. Remember also that EMDN is used to sample technical files for class 2B devices, non-well-established well-established technologies. So if you have two EMDN codes within your class 2B devices, notified bodies will check two technical files. But if, for example, doing an update, you can assemble the two EMDN codes to one, then they will check only one technical file. So they will check one technical file per EMDN code that you have within your nomenclature for class 2B, well-established technologies. So don't hesitate to go and check, and maybe you can find a way to simplify the nomenclature and simplify also your portfolio. So we have also the questions from manufacturers that are coming to say, oh, we are implantable device, or we are class 2B that is used to administer or remove some medicinal substances from the body. So the question is, should we go for an expert panel or not? So who is deciding? So the answer is on the graph or the guidance that we have just received for the notified bodies. And it tells mainly that the notified body at the beginning is considering if you need to go for a CECP or not. So mainly the idea here is to say, are you qualified per the rules to go to an expert panel? And if you are not, then they don't need to submit that to expert panel. And then they will submit this to the expert panel again, and they will check again everything and provide you some advice. So we, as consultants, we don't know. We know the rules, so we can tell you that maybe yes, But there are some exemptions, like, oh, if your product was already on the market since a long time, if there are a lot of data proving that your product is fine, so maybe you can be exempted from these expert panels. But notified bodies have to assess that and verify that. So here you have this document that you can read, and there are a lot of graphs. You can see one graph here that will tell you exactly what are the timelines and who is deciding to launch or not this consultation for an expert panel. So yeah, as I said, if you are class 3 implantable, class 3 unimplantable, or class 2B non-well established, so mainly this kind of expert panel is maybe for you. And this can increase again the timing for your application for obtaining the CE certification. And maybe again, because we saw that on some CECP reports, they can also, the CECP, the expert panel, can also decide that no, you are not. They suggest, it's also a suggestion to the notified body to say no, they are not qualified to go to CE marking because they missed that, or the data provided are not enough. So this is something that is really important to understand in case your products are within those scopes. Okay, now training. So we have the Green Belt Certification Program, so GB30, so 30th edition now of the Green Belt Certification Program. And the next session is in March, so the dates are March 25th until March 29th. So don't hesitate to join us for this session. I will issue maybe new dates for the quarter number 2, but not sure. So don't hesitate to go to this session if you are really interested to get this training. So it's a 5 days training. No, not 5 full days. It's 5 days where we have just 1.5 hours where we have a live session. And even if you are not available during this 1.5 hours, this is recorded. So then you will see the recording of it. And I will be here the whole week to answer all your questions. So during the 5 days, we will go through each modules related to EU MDR. The first one is the general overview of the EU MDR. The second one is about economic operators with PRC also. The third one about classification, qualification, conformity assessment, notified bodies. The fourth one about technical overview with quality management system, technical file, GSPR, clinical evaluation, PMS, PMCF, etc. So a big module. And the last module is about UDAMED and UDI, where I will explain to you how UDAMED is working and also how to create a UDI code so that you can create it by yourself also. And at the end, the 6th day, I will open the exam for 1 week. So you have then 1 week to make the exam. Only one attempt, and if you have 80% or more, then you are successful to this exam. So don't hesitate to join us and challenge yourself and verify if you are knowledgeable on the EU MDR or not. Okay, Team NB is also issuing a training. It's recurring training because they have issued that also last year. So this year again for technical documentation. So this training is to help you to understand how to create a technical documentation. As it's Team NB, so they are making it the fact that what they are telling you is mainly what the notified bodies are expecting to see. So this training is April 29th, 2024. So go again on the show notes, you'll see the agenda. It's done, I think, remotely. If I remember, I saw remotely on the text. And you can then see also what will be the content of this training. So don't hesitate to go and check that. If you are interested really to get a training on how to create a technical file and what is the content of a technical file. Okay, so Easy Medical Device is increasing also its portfolio of services. So now we are also providing the service of packaging. So what does it mean? It means that if you have a packaging to create for your medical device, we can also design the packaging for you. When we say design, it's design, really the design, like colors and the logo and everything, but also put in place the compliance check. So verifying which symbols, which logos, which things. So making all this work of verifying everything. And if you are interested, we can also print, pack, and send that to you so that you can also use that directly with your product. So don't hesitate to contact us. We can do that for packaging and also for instruction for use. So if you need a service for design, we can do that. And if you need also a service for printing and delivery of these products, so don't hesitate to contact us and we'll make a quotation. And if you're interested, we can then work with you on that. So yeah, we are trying to improve our services because a lot of our customers are contacting us and telling us, oh, can you do also this? Or can you find somebody to help me to do that? And we say now that yes, we can do it. So don't hesitate to contact us. Okay, now let's go to the USA. So the US FDA is warning manufacturers that there are some fraudulent labs, some labs that are issuing some reports, and those reports are like copy paste of other reports. So they are issuing like a biocompatibility report, but in reality, it's just a copy paste of a previous report. So they are asking now manufacturers to be careful to check that these labs are qualified. They have to qualify themselves as labs. So they have to verify that they are qualified, because at the end, if the FDA finds out that those reports are fraudulent, then they will not issue an approval for this product. So this is, if FDA warns about that, it means that there are lots of these that are happening. So verify your labs, verify that they are accredited, verify that there are pictures of your products on the report, verify that the information that are provided are also coherent, that there is no kind of some misspelling, or maybe they will forget to remove the name of a previous product on it, etc. So don't just accept the report as is, verify that it's working before to make to signature on it and then approve it. So as I said, if FDA is warning about that, it's maybe that they have fined a lot, which means also that this can happen also in the European Union, so everywhere. So don't hesitate, even if you are in the CE marking, to verify and check that. You can check the communication from the FDA on the show notes where they are talking about that mainly, and that where they are warning you to really check what the laboratory is doing. So if you are a medical device company, you have to manage significant changes. So the issue here is that significant changes is not the same in Europe, in the US, and in other countries. So here, Canada is making a consultation about the significant changes, and they are asking you a question to verify if this makes sense and if there is something that maybe, if the draft that they have issued is compatible with the thinking of many of the manufacturers. So don't hesitate to go if you are selling your device in Canada. Verify if the new draft about significant change for medical devices is applicable first for your product, and if you have maybe some comments. So I don't know if I put a date here. No, I didn't put any. There is a date. Until April 22nd, 2024. So you have until April 22nd, 2024 to issue your comments about this draft guidance and provide, verify if this is really aligned with what you are doing with your products. And it's really important that those significant changes that you are you have to know are available for each country. So you have to train your teams to say, if you see this change, this can be impacting my product that is going to Canada. If you make this change, this can impact the product going to the USA, etc., etc. So you have to have these decision trees per the countries where you are selling the devices. So if you make a change, you have to verify if this impacts one of those countries. And this should be within your quality management system. So don't instead to have a procedure with all those decision trees as annexes maybe of your procedure to just verify that. But if you are selling in Canada, check now, I mean, as soon as the consultation is over and everything is there, then maybe you'll have to update your procedure for the Canada regulation. Okay, Mexico now. So we have apparently a new agreement that was issued in Mexico regarding the objective to strengthen the regulatory pathway. So the idea here is to say that Mexico is a country that is able to provide high quality medical devices. And what they are saying is mainly also that they will also go in the way to harmonize the regulatory pathway with also what the other countries are doing. Example, if your product is already approved in the USA, maybe this will help you to directly go on the market in Mexico. Same if it's already CE marked, for example. So this is a communication that was just saying that they will be harmonizing those pathways, so that to help the manufacturers to help the manufacturers to enter the Mexican market, but also to show that Mexico is really looking at strengthen their regulatory consideration for medical devices. So don't hesitate to go to look at the communication if your product is sold in Mexico also. Now Qatar. So Qatar is seeing what is happening in the medical device field, and they see a lot of telemedicine technologies that are issued. And they created a policy to define how to use this telemedicine. So mainly, for example, it should be used in a healthcare center, it should be used by people that are physicians, etc. So they are trying to put some boundaries about the usage of telemedicine, not forbidding The usage is just to say that you have to use it, but in certain conditions that the data provided are accurate and there is no kind of deviation to this process to use it in another way. So if you are selling some telemedicine products, maybe Qatar, you have to look at what Qatar has provided, and maybe Qatar is one of the countries where you can also target so that for your kind of devices. So check on the show notes the document from the Qatar authority, the policy for telemedicine. Okay, now Australia. Australia is issuing a lot of guidances about the transition to EU MDR. So they suppose that the transition to EU MDR will also impact the Australian registration. So they issued guidances about evidence of the transition. So you are moving to EU MDR with this extension, again, the extra soft transition period after the 26th of May 2024. Now show me an evidence that yes, you are qualified for doing that. Second, about the design change request. If you are changing something about your device, will it impact also the ARTG, so the registration in Australia. Non-compliance also, maybe your products are non-compliant anymore due to these changes, so then you have also to do that. And the recalls also, if there is a recall in the middle of this change, so how it is working. All these are made in a format of case studies. So it means that they issue a case and they tell you what you should do if you are on this case. So they have really made it great. So don't hesitate to check that if you are selling your products in Australia and you are also subject to this transition to EU MDR. Okay, now we go to the podcast nostalgia. So we have three episodes that we had since the last podcast episode, that monthly review. So the first episode is about how to get your interview prepared with Elena Kiria. It was a great interview that I have made with Elena. So it helps you to understand mainly how you have to interact with the interviewer, what are the type of questions to answer, which question you should not try to answer now, or not try to ask now, etc. So if you are in the way of searching a job, so Elena Kiria first is a company that can help you. So Elemed, the company is Elemed. And second, this podcast can really help you to understand what are maybe some of the steps you have to follow to then be able to make your devices, you make your case within the interviewer for the medical device company. So don't hesitate to check this episode. Second episode, we have Will ETO Gas Become a Medical Device with Christina Ziegenberg from BVMed. So this was like a surprise to see that ETO can become a medical device, because before it was a biocide, but the biocide regulation doesn't want, or people that are managing the regulation doesn't want anymore to have this ETO gas as a biocide. So now they are asking it should be maybe under MDR. So here, this episode, we talk about the potential risk, the potential situation, and what mainly can be the consequences. So if you are a manufacturer and you are selling your devices that are sterile through ETO, the issue is not with you. The issue is more with the manufacturers of this ETO gas. If they are qualifying their gas as medical devices, I mean, it's just a proposal. There is no kind of thing for a moment. But if they are qualifying their gas as medical devices, then there is no problem. But if they decide, no, we don't do that, then there will be maybe a shortage of ETO gas and can be also impacting the medical device manufacturers. So this is the discussion we have now, but I'm sure they will find a solution. The last episode with Eric Volbrecht, so the one that we talked maybe at the beginning, the new proposal for UDAMED shortage and IVDR transition. So here Eric is really explaining to you what is the situation, how this is mainly working. So don't hesitate to go to check this episode, because mainly this is something that will be helping you to understand the situation until the vote is done. As soon as the vote is done, that maybe there will be a small transition, but then there will be some new rules that you have to apply for your devices if you are concerned by this IVDR or shortage or UDAMED. I mean, everybody will be concerned by UDAMED, so it's important. Okay, so don't hesitate to go to the show notes to review again, to check again those episodes. Okay, so Easy Medical Device is a consulting firm, so helping you to manage your quality and regulatory affairs. We are also providing training. We are also providing services as EU authorized representative, importer, a service as packaging, as I showed to you. Also, EQMS, we have SmartEye, our EQMS. So if you want really to get a view of SmartEye, the QMS that is provided. So go to the website that's also on the show notes. And we are providing a lot of other services specifically for quality and regulatory things. So don't hesitate to contact us. Go to info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com. So thank you very much.
Munir Al-Azouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market.